Do you realize you have to have a good, when I say a good foundation, you have to have a good foundation. Not only that, it's not about making sure it's level to start. You have to do it in such a way that it's going to stay level after you finish. Because I got it level, I thought it was level, rain came, the weight of the studs going up and the roof, make it unlevel. I had to jack it up and put some more wood on there to make it level. Do you have a good foundation? In Jesus Christ, do you have a good foundation? Well, I was going to preach on Matthew, but yesterday the Lord placed this on my heart, so let's see how it goes. We're going to look a little bit at the life of David. A little bit of the life of David. Now, if you remember, David was the youngest of his brothers, and he tended to sheep. And Saul was out of fellowship with the Lord. And the Lord needed a new king. And David was chosen. David had a good foundation. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 34. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 34. But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when it came, came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant have struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he hath defiled the army of the living God." And David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear," I may be saying that wrong, "will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Now, if I understand properly, being the shepherd in the family was the lowest of low. Because even when he went out to battle, they said, "Why don't you go take care of those sheep?" But while David was there, he was building a foundation for what God had for him in the future. Sometimes we get to a place that all we think about is where we're going to be in the future. What am I going to do in the future? We think about, I am ready for what God has for me. But if we would stay focused on where God have us planted, like in school, and focus on school, and start letting God use you where you are, and start being able to see that God can develop you right where you are, and you can learn what you need for where God is going to take you. I wonder if David ever had in the back of his mind, while he's out there taking care of these stinky sheep, that one day God will call him to be king. I wonder. I don't even think that was in the back of his mind. He was just doing what God called him to do at that specific time, tending sheep. And because he was satisfied with where he was, he encountered God and learned a lot. Wherever God puts you, or wherever you are right now, or where you think you're going to go, you don't have to worry about that. You need to worry about developing a strong and firm foundation. And that can happen right where you are. It could happen in school. Learn how to trust God. Look, he was a shepherd, and he learned how to trust God when a lion come. I don't know about you, but I've been to the zoo. And I've seen a lion. And if there wasn't a fence between me and that lion, I wasn't going to see it. If they tell us we had to walk in there, I wasn't going. But here is David doing his work and learn how to trust God and face a lion and face a bear. Where are you working? What kind of job you have? You, wherever you work, you can learn how to trust God right there. Right where you are planted at the moment. Here is one. Husbands, you could learn to trust God no matter what your wife is like. Wives, you could learn to trust God no matter what your husband is like. You can learn to trust God in such a way that God is developing you for what he has for you in the future. But you know, we don't see it that way. All we can look to is the future. David was doing his job and trusting God. While David was a shepherd in the field, he learned how to worship God. He learned how to have fellowship with God right where you are. You could learn in whatever circumstance you are how to worship God and have fellowship with him. And if you would do that, you are starting to build a foundation that can help you to face Goliath. David had a good foundation because where he was planted, he learned how to trust God. You having a hard time in school? Learn how to trust God. You having a hard time at work? Learn how to trust God. You having a hard time at home? Learn how to trust God. Trust God. Next thing, David had a faith that all of us would want to envy. When I say had a faith. Now, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 45. Then David said to the Philistine, "You came to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the army of Israel, whom you defiled." Now, I wonder how David got to be that kind of bold. I just wonder. He didn't just get up one day, and because he was just anointed king, he just got a boldness. David got a boldness because he had a foundation. How bold can you be? This day, the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. Boy, if that's not faith, I don't know what faith is. To stand up and face a giant you have never faced before, bigger than any lion, bigger than any bear. but because he was accustomed of trusting God right where he was, because he was accustomed of worshiping God right where he was, because he was accustomed of looking to God in his circumstances, in his lowly position, he was able to say, I know what my God can do, because my God delivered me from the lion, my God delivered me from the bear, my God can deliver me from you. And I will give your dead bodies to the host, your dead bodies of the host of the Philistine this day, to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that they all may know that there is a God in Israel. You know what David's plan was? To see God glorified. He didn't say, this day you're going to know that there's David around. He didn't say, this day you're going to know that this little man is going to take you down. He said, so that they will know that we serve a mighty God. Where am I? What verse am I at? 47. And that all this assembly may know that the Lord save not with sword nor with spear, for the battle is the Lord, and he will give you into my hand. The Lord does not save by sword and by spear, but my God is going to, the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hands. Let me tell you, I told you guys, the guy called me and he said, he tell me how, he never saw somebody, I never knew this, that he never saw somebody with so much faith. I used to think that that man had faith and I wanted to be like him. And then he telling me 20-something years later that he thought he had faith until he met me. This week I've been looking back at my life. You know what? I have never really given up my faith. If I could tell you guys some of the things I have come through because of my faith in God, you would be surprised. Why? Because when I had nothing, when I was nowhere, when I was nobody, when I live in a third world country, when 10 of us sleep in the same bed, I learned how to trust God. 12 years old, I gave my life to the Lord. Learning how to trust God. I never knew that God was going to bring me to America and have me here today. Didn't know that. We got to learn to trust God right where we are. David knew that his weapon was the Lord of hosts. David knew that his weapon was the Lord of hosts. We talked last week that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers in heavenly places. We don't have power for that. But God does. And our weapon should be the Lord of hosts. Too many times we are depending on our own strength. You know why is that? Because way back here, when we were building a foundation, we were depending on us. So guess, now we're serving Lord, the Lord here. Guess what we're still doing? Depending on us. Why? We never built a foundation of depending on God. David knew who he needed to glorify. We have to always be careful. We are not trying to glorify self, but we're trying to glorify the Lord. other thing is, David knew that God can use the skills that he developed as a shepherd. Now you tell me this. Here comes a giant. Big fella. Here comes this little man with a little slingshot and a stone. You tell me if you think that little slingshot and that stone could kill that giant. Come on now. Now, David may have developed some accuracy because of the skill. But I'm not so sure he had what it take to really give that giant a good blow to take him down. But David knew what was behind the stone. It wasn't his strength. It was the strength of the Lord. You can't fight giants now. With the Lord. If when you were over here fighting something else and you were doing it with your own strength. Every battle is the Lord's. If you would look to the Lord for all your battles and allow the Lord to be the force behind the sling, he will defeat your enemies. You know, this message came to me. I'm working VN, and on the ladies' weekend, the table is always pretty. When I say pretty, the table, ladies always come, and when you look at the ladies' table up front, it has nice tablecloth, they have ornaments, they have things to go with their theme, and it looks all pretty. The boys' weekend, nothing. I mean, the table is clear, just a cross. So they gave me, I got the job to be head chapel. And it's chapel's responsibility to make sure the table is right. So I said, you know what? I am going to make the table look good. So Friday night, I tried to make something I was going to take. I waited kind of too long, and I ruined it. And I said, Lord, what am I going to do for this table? So I came to the church, and I picked up the chauffeurs I had here. I picked up a cross. I got a tablecloth from home, and I went... I got a nice goblet for the juice, and because we're gonna have communion that day and stuff, and I went and I made up the table. So there's a guy over there. He's watching me, and I'm making up the table. You know, put the tablecloth. And I have a little bit of perfectionism in me, and that's why my chicken coop takes so long. And I had to give up my perfection because everything wasn't turning out right, because it wasn't level. And I'm fixing the table, and I'm making sure it's straight, and I'm stepping back, and then I put the horn there, and so then I didn't know he was going to give us a devotion, and he gets up there, and he rips up his devotions. And he says, I was watching Garth do that table, and after I watch him do that table, I got to rip up his devotions, because some of us get jobs to do, and we don't do it with the heart that we need to do it with. And we don't realize that every job is important. And then he talked a little bit about David. And all of a sudden, that's where this message comes from. The God just says, I want you to talk on David. Because what he was trying to say is, I took the position I had. I didn't whine and complain about it. Because, you know, there's some positions that is more glamorous, like the spiritual director that I do all the time. And this time I'm not doing a spiritual director. I'm not going to be the speaker up front. I'm just going to be a worker in the background. When the kids get there, they're not going to know who did the table. The table's going to be done. But what I learned to do is I want to do it to the best of my ability and let God use me as I do whatever he wants me to do. And that's how we need to be. Wherever we are planted, wherever God puts us, wherever we are right now, let God use us. And that's how this come together. This wasn't what he had, but God gave me this, and I pray that it will do something for you. So God, David had a foundation. David had faith. And David also had fear. 1 Samuel chapter 21 and verse 10. Now there's some words here, I may pronounce them wrong, but praise the Lord. And David rose and fled that day from Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servant of Achish said to him, is not this David the king of the land? Now listen, here's somebody that not even part, and they already know he was the king. Saul was still, Saul was still installed, but really David was already king. God has already anointed him king and took it away from Saul. All right. Then did they not sing to one another of him in dance? Saul has struck down his 1,000 and David his 10,000s. And David took those words to heart and was much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. So he changed his behavior before them and pretended to be insane in their hands and made marks on the doors of the gate and let his spittle run down his beard. Now, wait a minute. This is the same man that faced a giant. This is the same man that took a stone in a slingshot and killed a giant. This is the same man that put his foot on the giant's chest and cut off his head. Now he's afraid. And I don't know about you, I don't like to dribble. It was coming down his bed and he's acting like a crazy man. Okay. And Achish said to his servants, behold, you see the man is mad. Why then have you brought him to me? Do I lack madmen that you have brought this fellow to behave in such a manner in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? Now, I can't tell you what would have happened if he had trusted God, because the Bible didn't tell me. I don't know. But at that moment, I know he would have fear. I've had moments that I've had fear. And fear sometimes, I've stopped. Some things I didn't do because of fear. And I believe sometimes I have missed out on certain things because of fear. But here's the thing. He was on the run. He had to flee. He was fearful, and sometimes we just need a friend. We need to have good friendship. You know, when I was growing up, I usually used to have one friend. No, I mean, know a lot of people, but I always only had like one friend. One friend we did everything together, or I shared all my secrets with. One friend. If you are a loner, if you don't have friends, you better pray to God, because you need one. You cannot exist on an island by yourself. You just can't. It's not good. Who is going to encourage you when you have fear and you're on the run? Who is going to come to you and say, hold on, God's got you? Who is going to come to you and say, I'm praying for you? Who is going to do that? You need a friend. 1 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 16. And Jonathan, Saul's son, rose and went to David. Now, here's the thing. You would have never thought he would have a friend that his father hated him. But he had a friend. And here comes the friend. Went to David in Koresh, and strengthened his hand in God, and said to him, what did the friend do? Strengthen his hand. What did the friend do? Wait, am I preaching to the wall? Wall, what did his friend do? Someone say it louder. What did his friend do? You guys have some life now. He strengthened his hand. Guess what? We need a friend like that. Folks, if you are just home, no have no friend, something wrong. You need a friend who is going to help you. Listen, I know you got the God. One time, listen, I was praying with somebody, and I could tell they were down. I could tell they were like, you know how you could tell when somebody's down? And I said to them, what's wrong? Nothing. God got me. What kind of junk is that? I know you got God. I know you can go to God for yourself. I know you can encourage yourself in God because David did it. But sometimes you need flesh and blood. Pastor Dan started Shalom Christian Fellowship in 80-something. He had an aneurysm, and he said he used to always pray, God, show me your hand. God, show him a hand. I was at his bedside. He can't really move around. And you know what he said to me? God showed him his hands. It's the other believers. His hands was me and Ed and those who came and strengthened him. If you don't have anybody that you could go to get a little strength in times when you're fearful and you're on the run, something is wrong. I remember, one time it was so bad with me, I remember I went and see Ed. Went over to his house. And Ed strengthened my hands in the Lord. Folks, do you have a friend? A good, godly friend. A friend that can strengthen you when you are fearful, when you are a little bit worried, when the burden is a little bit heavy. And he gave him an encouraging word. He said, do not fear. Now, wait. This makes me laugh. You have fear and somebody comes to you and they say, don't fear. What the first thing you say to them? If you're not in my shoe? Isn't that what you hear a lot of time? These people, they're coming to me telling me don't fear. They're not in my shoe. How do they know what I'm going through? Jonathan have no idea what he's going through. Jonathan is with his dad. But Jonathan knew that his friend was afraid. And he says, do not fear. For the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you. Now, here's a thought. Now, this is a side note. I wonder if David had killed Saul in the cave, if Jonathan wouldn't have been at his side instead of dying in battle. I just wonder. That's a thought that come to me. So you could chew on that. That's just a sideline. Saul, my father, also knew this. And the two of them made a covenant before the Lord. David remained at Horesh, and Jonathan went home. Folks, if you don't have somebody that can help lift you up in times of trouble, pray to God. Say, God, I need somebody. So we find out that David had a foundation. He had great faith. He had some fear. Now let's find out he had some failures. What gets me is that the Bible still says that David was a man after God's heart. And let me tell you, some of the things he did, if I did one of these things here, no, the second one, you guys will tell me I have to step down. You see what I mean? 1 Chronicles chapter 21 and verse 1. Then Satan stood against Israel and incited David to number Israel. So David said to Joab and the commanders of the army, go number Israel and Bethsaida to Dan and, say that again? To Dan, and bring me a report that I may know the number. But Joab said, may the Lord add to this people 100 times as many as they are. Are they not? My Lord the King, all of them, I may copy something wrong. Let me see here. Where am I? My Lord the King, all of them, my Lord's servant. Why then should my Lord require this? Why should it be a cause of guilt for Israel? Now, here is a man that has a good foundation, a man that has faith, a man that run in fear and now is in power, but yet he can't take a little instructions. You know, sometimes we get the right instruction, but we still do whatever we want to do. You know, as a pastor, I see that a lot. I counsel people. I give them good advice. And guess what? They do what they want to do anyway, because they probably was just hoping that I would tell them what they want to hear. And here is the king, and he's getting good advice. Don't do this. He did it anyway. One of his failures. He counted the people. The king had his way. And it was a detriment to Israel. 2 Samuel 11:2. It happened late one afternoon when David arose from his couch and was walking on the roof of the king's house, and he saw from the roof a woman bathing. And the woman was very beautiful. And David sent an inquiry about the woman and said, is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam? Eliam? Yeah, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. So David sent messenger and took her, and she came to him, and he laid with her. Now she had been purifying herself from her uncleanness. Then she returned to her house. I praise God that sometimes, you know, you don't bless anything. If it was today and I didn't have my glasses, I wouldn't be tempted. She'd be too far. I wouldn't be able to see it. So David had to have some good eyes. I don't know. But somehow David went up to his rooftop, and he saw this beautiful woman. And he looked over there, and he didn't turn away. And the Bible says, when it's conceived in your heart, and he did what he wasn't supposed to do. David had failures. The thought come to me is, we all have failures. I mean, this is a hit. Wait. Now, the sin didn't stop there, you know. That was just the beginning. She gets pregnant, and then he wanted the husband to claim the child, so he got the husband from the battlefield and sent him home. If in today's age, the husband would have just been the father of that child. But this man was honorable. He said, I can't stay here. Why my men is out there and the Ark of the Covenant is out there? I got to be at the battlefield. And he would not go. He just sat outside. And when David saw that honorable man, he sent instructions to put him at the front of the battle and took his life. David had failures. And here's what Saul said to David. Why have you despised the word of the Lord? In 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 9. Why have you despised the word of the Lord to do what is evil in his sight? You have struck down Uriah and Uriah the Hittite with the sword and has taken his wife to be your wife, and you have killed him with the sword of the Amorites. 2 Samuel verse 12, chapter 12, verse 9. Folks, I would never think David would do something with the kind of foundation he had. But David knew how to regain his favor with the Lord. David knew where to find forgiveness. David was quick to repent. And David knew whose hands he wanted to, because when he counted the folks, God gave him an option. And he said, I'd rather be in the hands of the Lord. Psalm 51. This psalm took place after all of this with Bathsheba. He said, have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sins. David knew exactly where to go to regain favor and to find forgiveness. Are you running to the Lord? The New Testament says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and he is just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 3, for I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I would be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sin and blot out all my iniquities. Here's a scripture we all know. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Folks, there's forgiveness waiting for us. Maybe you are somewhere in that line. Maybe you don't have a foundation at all, but it's time. You can start building a foundation right where you are. With any circumstance you face, wherever you are. And learning how to trust God. And learning how to see God deliver you from whatever you are going through right where you are. So when God takes you to the next step, you can be as strong as an ox in His strength. Maybe you have a strong foundation. Maybe God has taken you to the next step, but somehow you have lost your way. You have done things that God said you shouldn't do that. That's not my way. That's not my plan for you. That's not what I want you to do. And you still went ahead. Maybe people came about and they said, don't do that. Don't go that way. That's not what God has for you. But you still did it your way. And now you are suffering the consequences. And you don't know how to get out. Do like David. Run to God. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. And you could do that today. And you could do that now. David knew what it's like to be in his presence. And David knew what it was like to be out of his presence. And David wanted the joy of salvation back. David wanted to know that the Holy Spirit was with him. And the only way it can be is to run to God and say, God, forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me, O God. So the choice is yours. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your guidance. And thank you for the leading of the Holy Spirit. Father, help all of us, right where we are, to start learning how to trust you, how to sing praises to you, how to be in your presence, and how to be a victor over the things that is coming to defeat us. And Father, if we have, Lord God, wandered away, God, we ask today that you would forgive us of our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, take us from where we are, God, and plant us where we need to be. And Father, we thank you for your word. May it be a light and a lamp as we serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. Go and be blessed.